The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Here ends the text. A movie opens with the click of a shutter. A picture is displayed. Another click, another picture. The writer and director means for that series of pictures to be a message. Our text has several vivid pictures. Some are of the law, some are of the gospel, but they all preach. In good law gospel fashion, we begin with the law. "See a brood of vipers." We don't commonly use the word brood or viper. A brood refers to that which is born of man or animals. It's only used four times in the Bible, only by John and Jesus, and they use it only of the Pharisees and or the Sadducees. A viper is not the same thing as a snake. In Matthew 23, Jesus calls the Pharisees both, "You snakes, you brood of vipers." Viper is a generic term for a poisonous snake. John calls the popular and the official leaders of the church of his day a bunch of poisonous snakes, the offspring of the serpent of old, Satan. See the clutch of snakes that engulf the man crossing the river in the movie Lonesome Dove. See the twisting, churning, slithering snakes that Indiana Jones saw when he dropped the torch into the room. See these snakes fleeing from something, but to no avail. They're going to be caught. Got the picture? Here's the reality. It is estimated that John baptized between 200,000 and 500,000 people. This was a very popular movement. The church leaders, they wanted something to do with it. Perhaps John would welcome them with open arms and gladly baptize them. Instead, he calls them a brood of fleeing snakes. They're running from God's wrath. But they aren't going to make it, because impenitence only runs towards his wrath, never away from it. Are you in this picture? Is repentance something that others need to do, but not you? Oh, sure, you're a sinner, but you're not that bad. You say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," well, those are just words, which you say with your lips, but not mean in your heart. Where's the fruit of your repentance? Where's your changed life? Why are you no different this Advent than you were last Advent? Picture this: an axe beside the root of a tree. The text does say trees, but I have a hard time picturing that one. I can picture a tree. How about a nice green Christmas tree? And an axe. How about one of those with a wood handle, a red metal head that gives way to a silver blade? Imagine getting a Christmas card with that on the cover. "Merry Christmas" blazes across the bottom, and when you open the card, the Christmas tree has not only been chopped down, but it's in a roaring fire. That's part of the picture. Although the insert translates "will be cut down" and "will be thrown into the fire," the whole verse is vivid present tense. Already the axe is right next to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree not making good fruit is chopped down and into the fire is cast. Wasn't an idle question I asked in connection with the other picture. Where is your fruit of repentance? You think you're really repentant of having other gods when you worry government, medicine, or men in general have more control or influence over your life than God. You think you're really repentant of misusing the name of the Lord when not 60 minutes after calling upon the name of the Lord in here, you're out there using the name of God as an exclamation point. You think you're really repentant of not gladly hearing God's word when you look for any reason not to hear it. Picture the trees talking in the Wizard of Oz. Or picture that Geico commercial where the tree falls in the woods. God's axe has chopped you down and God's law is dragging you to hellfire that you so richly deserve. But you're still yapping. You've been a Lutheran all your life. You went to Lutheran day school. You went to Lutheran high school. You went to seminary. Two things. First, you don't think that people really say things like this. They do. They may not always say the words, but they make the point. Second, God could care less. Your confessional Lutheran pedigree is no excuse, let alone answer to your sins. The final picture exposes the secret lie that we all nurse. I may indeed get burned for my sins, but surely I won't go to hell. But hell's where our photo display ends. True, John does not picture the chopped down trees burning in hell, but the chaff is burned up with unquenchable fire. Jesus says elsewhere that prostitutes and other open sinners like homosexuals, drug dealers, and contract killers, they are more likely to go to heaven than church leaders because their sense of shame can lead them to repentance. Our sense of not being that bad fools us into thinking that the unquenchable fires of hell are quenched in our case. Do you know what chaff is? Chaff is dried, broken up straw. Do you know how easily and hotly it burns? The winnowing shovel of the law of God is in God's hand. See him getting every last piece of chaff off that threshing room floor. See the roaring fire behind him. See him pitch the shovel full of chaff into the maw of the fire. The fire is so hot it doesn't even smoke. So hot it burns up your very best defense of your sin. So hot it burns up your very best reasons for thinking they weren't really worthy of hellfire. So hot is this fire it burns up your very sincere promises to do better. So hot it burns you up with them. Now if you stop looking at the pictures at this point, you might think you've been scared straight. Okay, Pastor, I'll try harder, I'll do better, I'll be more serious about my faith. If this is your reaction, you don't really see that last picture, where all your promises, all your efforts, all your seriousness are as pieces of chaff heading for hellfire. The law cannot scare the hell out of you. The law can drive you to look at other pictures. It can open your eyes to pictures that you have taken for granted or didn't think you needed. The pictures of John aren't the stopping point. John is the forerunner of another. He's announcing the arrival of someone else, Jehovah in flesh and blood. John quotes Isaiah saying, "He is the one preparing the way of the Lord. Lord, there is the word Jehovah." John goes before the one born of the Virgin Mary. This means the God who dwelled in the cloudy presence, the God whom neither Moses nor Elijah could see face to face. This means this God shows his face in the person of Jesus. See a picture of Jesus with his nail-pierced hands spread wide to receive you. John says the one coming after him is greater than him. The gospel is greater than the law. Your wretched, ugly, sinful life is trumped by the perfect, holy life of God the Son. Your many sins that are more than you know, worse than you think, and impossible for you to bear, they were borne away from you on the back of Jesus. Picture Jesus welcoming you into his forgiving arms, not begrudgingly, not hesitantly, but eagerly, happily, relieved that you've come. Into those arms went the broken woman at the well and the one in Simon's house. The woman caught in adultery and Zacchaeus caught in greed. The denier Peter and the murderer Paul. Picture them all now in the arms of Jesus and look, there you are too. Don't think you can make it, do you? None of them made it on their own strength. What do you expect of stones, of rocks, of hearts that are rock hard at the bottom? See a picture of children being raised from stones. See the living chess pieces in that Harry Potter movie. On our own, we are nothing but stone-cold sinners. We are no different than Babylon portrayed as a millstone. When the waters of judgment descend, we can only go to the bottom with her, unless the waters of baptism have claimed us first. Baptism waters also drowned. But they drowned the old man, the sinful nature, that can never be conformed to God's law, that can never get any better. Your sinful nature will always have other gods. Your sinful nature will always want to misuse the name of the Lord your God. Your sinful nature will always not want to go to church, let alone Bible class. You can't change it. You can't reform it. You can't reason with it. You can't convert it. Baptismal waters, however, can drown it. Baptismal waters join you to the death of Christ, says St. Paul. Down, 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 the sinful nature sinks with Christ till it breathes no more, thinks no more, lives no more. And that same baptism joins you to the life of Christ. A new man, not made out of the old, a new man made after the image of Jesus, totally righteous, totally holy, emerges and arises from the font. Picture it. A stone goes in dead to all that is God, all that is holy, pure, true, and good, and out comes a living, breathing, holy, good, new person. Don't think I'm making this stuff up. This is exactly what Ezekiel 36:26 says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. From stone-cold sinners, Jesus' blood and righteousness, placed by His word into the baptismal waters, raises up children of the Heavenly Father. And Jesus gathers them together. Picture this. When you sweep a threshing floor, the fine dust is diffused by the rays of the sunlight. I know you can see the sunbeam streaking through the dust now. Our word halo is based on the Greek word for threshing floor, halon, because of this. Secondly, the Greek word for gather here is the word the Greek church used for communion, because in communion Jesus gathers his children to himself. Right now, the Lord Jesus is winnowing his threshing floor by means of his law and gospel. The law stirs up a cloud of dust, so as in Pilgrim's Progress, you choke on your many sins. The more you use the law, the thicker that dust cloud becomes. The answer to sins once confessed is never more law or more excuses and promises in response to the law. The answer is the gospel. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, this is pictured as water, but we're told in the book the water stands for a person's faith. Even so, its gospel, the gospel of Pilgrim's Progress, only settles the dust, leaving it up to the person to sweep it out. No! Baptismal water sweeps away sins completely, leaving behind the halo of holiness. Jesus then gathers us holy grains to grind us down, but only so that we may be baked into the one loaf of his body. Now that's a picture. Fire burns chopped down trees and chaff, but it bakes bread. The fires that will judge the world will only bake those gathered by Jesus into sweet smelling bread. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.